Mini episode 741 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by TV Howl, your home on the web for coverage of today's television scene and a look at the history of the medium as covered by big-time TV critic Adam Buckman. Follow them on the web at tvhowl.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the FDH Lounge coverage of the 2016 NFL season. Looking at the AFC South from a preseason point of view, Rick Morris and Kyle Ross with you here today. And this is the division where the Houston Texans.
Yeah, You still got that 91 game on your mind, don't you? I still do.
I was about to make an old school reference. That might have been why I went there. That the Houston, formerly part of the old Mid-South territory, you talk about standing tall, Bill Watts standing tall. It was the Houston Texans standing tall in the division, at least until they hit the wild card game last year, when a performance from Brian Hoyer was so execrable that the crowd was actually chanting for Brandon Whedon. The low point in the history of the franchise.
Maybe in sports.
In a home, yeah.
Maybe the low, I mean, any, I mean, the low point in the history of sports.
Yeah, in a game that they were actually hosting, so... That is,
yes, I'll tell you what, you know, and watch this transition.
Okay.
Much like Roger Ailes being ousted at Fox News.
This just in.
Whoever was to replace the Whedon-Hoyer dynamic duo will be an improvement.
Brock Osweiler will be. And
how much is the question, though? There's a lot of people who've done film room. By the way, am I on here? This phone?
You are.
Okay.
You're on.
Gotcha. What a professional operation we're running here. I'm shades of Brian Hoyer in the playoffs with me on the mic. There's people who've done a lot of film study and say, this guy, let's not go crowning him the next anything just yet.
You want to crown him, crown him.
The key for me, and I was going to pick Houston despite the Osweiler signing to regress and maybe take a step back this year.
Okay.
But the key is, and I think they overpaid for him, but the key is there's enough pieces around him to make this work, even though I think they may win fewer games. I actually do think they're going to win fewer games than they did last year, but I still have them winning the division at 8-8. This was clearly, although it was an ugly division last year, Houston started really bad, they came out at the end, it was kind of close. Houston was clearly the best team in this division
last year.
In terms of yards per game, they were top seven in the league at, let me bring this up, of course.
We like the phrase taller than Mickey Rooney award, though.
Sixth in the league in yard per game differential. Yeah. Yes, that's funny. They outgained 11 of 16 opponents in the regular season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this was a good team last year.
Yeah, they were the best defensive player
in the league.
They were. It's the biggest question in the division for 2016, and if you look at it, it's one of the biggest questions in the league for 2016, isn't it? How much better will Brock Osweiler be than Brian Hoyer?
See, the very logical way to look at this is to say Houston's going to be a lot better this year. Because I just don't, like, even if you don't like Osweiler that much, he's going to be an improvement over what Houston had at quarterback.
Right.
No?
Big guy, big arm. It all kind of depends. I mean, and this is a very interesting thing as far as perspectives go, because they're kind of different ones. That our chief NFL draft scout here at FDH, our senior editor Jason Jones, he liked what he saw of him from what was it, Arizona that he was playing at?
Who?
Brock Osweiler. Where did he play his college ball?
No, Arizona State.
Arizona State. Jason really liked him. You were saying early on in his days in the league that you were less impressed from what you saw of him in college. I remember you saying you were a little bit befuddled that he had reached the value of a third-round pick.
Did I say that?
I think so.
Okay.
I think you would.
Sure.
You were not. Yeah, didn't you say that you weren't as impressed with him
vaguely,
based on?
And vaguely. Okay. I don't know. He looked really good in that one half against, wasn't it Pittsburgh? That one, it was a national TV game last year.
That's right.
I think that's kind of colored the lenses a little too rosy on him.
I
don't know. Going to a new system, being a starter for 16 games is a whole new ball of wax.
Well, and the funny kind of thing, I mean, we've been hearing with the height of the political season here, the whole thing about binary choice, Hillary or Trump, whatever. Is it a binary choice of when you go to replace a quarterback, as he went to try to replace Peyton Manning, and of course that ended up not being the case subsequently because of this deal. But
it's interesting though that Denver didn't want him, isn't it?
Well, they didn't want to pay that price.
Yes.
But what's interesting
goes back to, by the way, smart teams don't overpay for quarterbacks.
He was drafted to replace Peyton Manning, even though he won't be the guy to do that eventually. The guys that you think of on either extreme.
Was he really drafted to replace Peyton Manning, or is he just drafted because they wanted a backup quarterback?
He was drafted with it. I think that's why you commented on it at the show at the time, of the notion of the. I think you were befuddled by the notion that that this kid, within a couple of years, based on what you'd seen of him, could become the starting quarterback in Denver and have him keep going like they had been going. And the binary choice that I'm going to use here is Tommy Maddox or Aaron Rodgers, because those are kind of the two extremes when you think of this. Tommy Maddox, ironically, with the Broncos, drafted when John Elway was there. Aaron Rodgers was the successful guy to replace Brett Favre, and I think by the time it's all said and done, to have a better career than Brett Favre, as much of a mouthful as that is. So, again, The safer choice is to say somewhere well in between the two. But if he was closer to Aaron Rodgers than Tommy Maddox, it might not necessarily be surprising to me. When you look at the guys that he's had to work with the last couple of years, Adam Gase, Peyton Manning, yes, probably even to whatever degree John Elway. I think Elway, if he's your general manager, how are you not giving the kid a few tips yourself with all that you know and have to offer? So when you look at the coaching that he's received coming into this, I'm not a guy that's a tremendous fan of Bill O'Brien personally, but as an offensive
mind, I've never understood that.
Just don't like him. He's just one of these fake rah-rah tough guys.
Love what he said about Joe Paterno's people.
Well, and that's a guy, again, that, skipped out on them after, what, a year or two? And
I'll tell you what, Penn State should be blessed that they were had the experience of Bill O'Brien taking that job for such a short time.
I'm just not a big Bill O guy personally, but I respect his offensive mind, albeit he's not a guy.
And he's got some pieces to work with here, man.
Well,
this
offense
looks pretty good.
He's not a guy that was able to get anything out of Tom Savage previously. Or,
well, I don't know. Jesus Christ get a lot out of Tom Savage? I don't know about that.
Also, subsequently, Ryan Mallett. He really couldn't get anything out of him there. And
Ryan Mallett's not that good.
He looked pretty doggone good in Baltimore later in the year. I stand by what I've said previously. You may be hearing something from him before it's all said and done. Let me tell you.
Yeah, it ain't going to be good.
I suppose I left myself wide open for that one. But that is, again, that's the question for this division this year. And probably one of the top five questions in the league is, what is Brock Osweiler going to look like? And I have a feeling we're going to have some kind of an idea this year on what this ceiling is for him and how good he can be. Because, they've upgraded offensively here. They got some more receiving weapons, in the offseason. Defensively, there's still room for growth when you consider the
Lamar Miller in the backfield over your boy Arian Foster.
That trade, as it were, between Houston and Texas, or Houston and Miami rather, is very lopsided for Houston. And again, defensively, when you talk about room to grow, still the fact that we have not seen anything from Jadeveon Clowney yet at this point in his career. If they figure out what the answer is with him.
With Jared Crick leaving, they need something, too, now.
They do. They do. And, again, I got him 8-8 because
so do I.
I think it all just plays out. But where you and I differ is at 8-8 in my estimation. This is the inverse of what we were saying about the AFC North. To me, 8-8 doesn't get you the division title, much less even in the playoffs.
I still don't like this division at all.
I'm not a huge fan.
Couple things interesting. They will play the Patriots without Brady.
Yeah.
And they only have 7 true road games this year, Houston. They will play the Raiders in Mexico instead
That's right.
of Oakland.
Okay.
Remember that. So here's what I want to wrap up with Houston.
That's an interesting question. Are there more fence jumpers that are Texans or Raider fans?
I prefer to call them opportunity seekers. Does Brock Osweiler have to be good for Houston to be good? I want to bottom line that.
Yeah.
Discussion.
Yeah.
If he's terrible, if he's like a disaster, does Houston have any chance to make the playoffs still?
No. But here's the thing.
Even though they had pretty terrible play at quarterback by any measurable estimation.
Hoyer for most of the season didn't look as crappy as he is. So you can't say that they overcame the worst quarterbacking in the league. He played over his head at decent points in time, as he did with the Browns the previous year. The problem is always with him. At some point, Brian Hoyer remembers that he's Brian Hoyer. I think it's safe to say, and maybe more so than any other player in the league, as Brock Osweiler goes, so go the Texans. And I say that because I'm predicting him to be somewhere in the middle ground this year between good and bad, and I'm projecting the Texans to be 8-8. So if Brock Osweiler, if he comes in and he plays like the kind of guy that they are paying him to be.
Oh, if he does that, then they're running away with the division. If Brock Osweiler's really good, I think Houston runs away with the division.
Running away with the division, with the division schedule that they have, getting a bye. They'll be the one or the two seed.
Yeah, you're right.
And this just in an AFC that is not deep at all in terms of Super Bowl contenders, if Brock Osweiler's that guy, they're on the short list of two or three teams to go to the Super Bowl. I don't think he is at this point.
Neither do I. Vegas has him at 8.5. We both are saying slightly under.
Okay, yeah. I mean, outside of the Browns, Vegas is going pretty close on most of these.
Okay. Well, that's what they're paid to do, believe it or not.
Yeah. Well, outside of that blind spot.
Who do we want to do next? Do we want to do the interesting one or the less interesting one?
Well, in terms of chalk, okay, this is kind of,
let's go with the less interesting one your pick to win the division?
No. Yes. They
okay,
are.
Let's go with them then.
They are. I mean, this is, for all intents and purposes, going back to the days of Peyton Manning. I mean, we are still, even with Houston winning the division last year, this is still, writ large, the era of the Colts in this division. They are the default year in and year out that you look at.
Like New England in the East.
You know, like New England in the East. Not as dominant as them relative to the rest of the division. They're always more in the pack, a little bit more than the Patriots are, but it's the same kind of dynamic. I've got them at 9-7. I've got them winning the division. I don't love this pick. But what I'm thinking, I am expecting a major progression to the mean from Andrew Luck.
Here's the thing. Isn't Houston Indianapolis, the way we look at them, the exact opposite of Houston? In Indianapolis, it's all on the quarterback.
It is.
Houston, I didn't think it is. I think Houston could still be okay even if Osweiler's not that good.
Right.
To answer that question, which I guess I never answered that question after I asked it to you.
Okay.
The Colts are completely dependent on Andrew Luck. If Andrew Luck is not spectacular, this is a terrible football team.
Well,
I think
he wasn't last year even when healthy.
No, he wasn't. But I think like he's got to not only just have some natural spike in his level of play, he's got to go back to – he has to like maybe play as well as he's ever had, because the rest of this roster I think is trash.
Well, and that's the thing. Their situation, you're right about that. You're right to compare and contrast it with Houston, because it is absolutely not true to say, as Andrew Luck goes, so go the Colts. Because as you say, if he plays poorly again and or is hurt, they won't do well. But Andrew Luck can play out of his skull, and they may still not win the division because the rest of the team could bring him down. I think, again, this is now his fifth year in the league. The level of respect that I have for him as a difference-maker kind of a player, he's getting to that part of his career. And I think particularly when you're looking at the motivation coming off of – he never had a year, nor did he ever expect to have a year like the one he was just coming off of. And I think a lot of times that's the kick in the balls that you need to – I'm not going to say – I don't want to insult him by saying rededicate himself, because there's never been any question of that. But – motivation levels can spike even when they're already pretty high. And I think, again, the year that he's coming off of, I think he is one of the most motivated players of 2016. And I think that that's something to fear for the rest of the league. Like you, I don't love the roster. I'm still a little bit troubled by the fact that they're going to try and ride Frank Gore for another year because the statistical tables, when you start looking at age after 30, it's very troubling. And this is a guy that's got a lot of high mileage on him with knee surgeries early in his career. I mean, Frank Gore has beaten the odds in terms of expectations more so than most players in NFL history when you look at the kind of career he's carved out. And yet, again, not that spectacular last year with the offensive line he's got. I won't lay it all at his feet. But it's only going to be diminishing returns from here on in. I'm expecting a little bit more out of Philip Dorsett this year. I think that another year of acclimation to this offense can help somewhat. T.Y. Hilton is a kind of he-is-what-he-is guy for a number one receiver, which is always going to present some problems for Luck. That he doesn't have anybody at the level of a undisputed number one receiver. So there are some issues, but I think, again, they've had a little bit of a youthful infusion here with the draft the last couple of years defensively. I still don't regard it as a great unit. If they can be even mediocre.
What do you think about the Chuck Pagano thing? Everyone thought he was gone, and then he wasn't.
Well, again,
I think they wanted to get rid of him. I think that's going to play a bad role.
It might, and that's where again, you know, him and
buyer's remorse. I believe
him and their awful general manager Ryan Grigson.
Ryan Grigson is as bad a general manager as there is in the league. It's him and Trent Baalke, right? Those are the two worst.
Yeah, they're well. And here's the thing: Scott McLaughlin in Washington. I don't know how much of it was him, but remember, from like 2010 to 2013. San Francisco was very good in player acquisition.
Oh, no, they were great. They were great until they decided that they didn't need Jim Harbaugh anymore.
Right. And Baalke bears a lot of blame for that, for not making it work. But he at least had a point in his career when he was the titular head of a player acquisition and development group that was running on a high level. Ryan Grigson has no such accomplishment.
No,
to
he
his
basically,
record.
They basically, the only thing that the Colts have done right in the last, I don't know how many seasons, was suck the right year, and they got Andrew Luck. Can you imagine if they didn't have Andrew Luck, how awful? This would be the worst team in the league.
And I mean, it's a tired analogy. I myself have made it many times on the show previously, but the equivalent of toward the end of the David Robinson era, Spurs suck for 1 year. Yeah. When he's out, they get Duncan. And that's the thing. With Andrew Luck, you have your quarterback for the next 15 years after Peyton Manning. That almost never happens. Green Bay had great quarterbacks back-to-back, but it was a much more difficult and rocky path because Brett Favre decided he wasn't done when he should have been done.
By the way, did you see that thing? You probably didn't because you hate it. I don't blame you. I was actually just trying to fall asleep. That QB camp thing that he did with John Gruden on SportsCenter?
I did not see
it. What an egomaniac.
Yeah.
Both of them, really.
Well,
but
both
Favre
of them.
Was horrid. He was just bragging like how hard he was throwing the ball in his first game. He's like, they never saw that.
Well, yeah, and you'll never hear Brett Favre reference the and of all the top level quarterbacks in the history of the game, was there ever one that mixed in more bad picks?
No, there
more
wasn't.
Often
I told you
him?
He single handedly lost three playoff games.
Yeah,
team,
yeah,
including the Vikings.
So there's that. Which ironically, talk about tying it all back in. That's one of the raps on Andrew Luck, is that he will make some of the bad pass sometimes.
He did not play well last year. There's
he
no
did not
doubt
play
about it.
Well.
Now, we need to talk about it. So, obviously, a healthy and better Luck means a lot.
Yes,
but
it does.
I need to point out that this team was outgained in 14 of its 16 games last year. That was a league worst.
Right.
They were 30th in yards per game differential. They still finished 8-8. Remember the little L Luck. All the residual.
We talk about this all the time.
That is left over in one score games from this team.
They need great Luck, capital L and lowercase L.
Now, they don't play a first place schedule this year, which may be of benefit, but you talk about the defense. This is one of the older defenses in the league. They have six starters on defense 30 or older.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah. So even
that's not good. I'm picking them 7-9.
Okay.
I think under 9.5 is a great bet. Vegas has them under 9.5. That's just too high. There's no way they're going to win 10.
Yeah, even with them being division winners, in my estimation, I got them at 9-7, hence still under that.
And I think this team could be really bad, to be honest with you. I think if Whereas Houston has a floor if Osweiler's even bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think if Luck is bad, the Colts' floor is lower, actually.
It is. It is. And not, I don't think Luck being bad is the number one fear scenario in Indianapolis.
What is then?
The number one fear scenario, you touched on it briefly before, and that is, and I've gone on record as saying this, that, I mean, outside, maybe the only case in the history of sports, or at least that I can remember, is Ron Rivera. Most coaches that stare into the abyss, when they get spared, it never ends well. Mm-hmm. It's always a thing of they should have been gone.
Yes.
And that is the scenario here is if the team starts poorly, Pagano could be gone by midseason if they start poorly, and it could just be that spiral of this is the nightmare year and whatever. I think Pagano, you know, the hangover of him almost getting fired and the fact that he seems likely to still get fired at some point, I think that's more likely than Andrew Luck costing them that, although the two could go hand in hand, because certainly if Andrew Luck plays poorly, they have no chance. They're more dependent on him than most other teams in the league. It's a testament to my almost superhuman regard for Andrew Luck that I say he carries them to 9-7. He heroically gets it done with an MVP-type caliber performance. And that, again, I don't even really see them separating by winning the division at 9-7 because, segue alert, I have another team at 9-7, and you think that this is a hipster kind
of... Oh, it is. It's a trendy one. It's one of the two PBR picks this year. I wanted to pick Jacksonville to win the division.
Mm-hmm. Or even a wild card. You could do that.
Here's the thing. I don't think they were actually that good last year.
You don't?
No. I think they were good if you were a fantasy football player. I don't think they were that great of a team.
They had a really good offense despite not having
much
of a running
game. They had good
numbers.
They
had Chris Ivory to this offense. You know, that's... They're moving in the right direction. They didn't get a lot out of Julius Thomas, which was a big signing. They have room for growth. I think they're going to build on what was a very good offensive season last year, even if you want to diminish it by saying statistically good offense.
Now you're the big statistics guy.
But, no, I have a lot of regard for what they've done. They had an excellent draft, Kyle.
Yes, they did. And that's why. It was the draft that I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
The Jacksonville Jaguars have won the AFC South.
Albeit, here's the interesting thing, because we did an analysis afterwards. We always do an analysis based on team needs and based on a score off of our senior editor, Jason Jones, his draft board. They scored very highly. They were first in the league as far as caliber players off of Jason's top players list. They did not score as highly on filling holes. They were simply going best player available. So a lot of times it's a depth situation and very, very strong depth at some positions. They didn't do as much to fill holes, albeit that's where the offseason signings come into play and Malik Jackson and some of the things they did like that. So they combined free agency and the draft in a holistic way to upgrade their team.
Yeah, I do have them winning more games. I have them going 7-9. Well, Vegas has got them at 7-5.
7-9, that's mighty white of you. I got them 9-7 as a wild card.
Well, I have them 7-9 not making the playoffs. What am I supposed to do, just kiss your ass and agree with you? What do you mean? What do you want from me? I disagree with you. I'm sorry. What do you want?
I'm just saying.
What do you want me to vote for Rand Paul for president next, too? That ain't going to happen.
There weren't enough people that did that, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, I mean, same for my guy. But, no, I just think that, look, I was really wrong about going anti-bandwagon last year with Minnesota. I'll admit that. But I just think that Jacksonville wasn't as great as everyone thinks they were.
Okay.
I don't. So I'm going to say 7-9.
What are some of the specifics? Are you less enamored with the growth of Blake Bortles than a lot of people
are? I just think that, like, look, in terms of yards per game, they were still outgained. I know. Now, the key for them is actually going to be on the defense, I think. I think as much as everyone wants to talk about the offense, because if I think the guy who won our fantasy league had a lot of Jaguars, that's kind of what I was like. And I think they put up a lot of numbers late. They would have those games that would like improbably turn into shootouts
right
in the fourth quarter. But the key is with the defense, because they essentially kind of get three first-round picks
right
on that defense they add. Because remember, Fowler missed all of last year.
That's right.
Jalen Ramsey had the small meniscus tear, but it wasn't that big of a deal.
Yep.
And then Miles Jack, whose stock dropped in the draft because of an injury. Now, there's injury concerns with all three of those guys, it should be pointed out. But if they can stay healthy, that will be where I'm wrong. If those three stay healthy and contribute to the level that they, to the level of their potential, then I will be wrong and Jacksonville will probably win this division. I think it will either be Houston or Jacksonville winning this division, not Indianapolis. I actually like Jacksonville much more than I like Indianapolis.
The defense, and this is one of these interesting things here, because rarely when a team is 31st out of 32nd in the league in points against, is it a Jekyll and Hyde situation. Usually it's just that they're flat out bad. But I'm going to read you some of the higher point totals against. Gave up 51 to New England. Gave up 26 to Houston. Gave up 24 to Indianapolis. You know what? I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong column here. It was gave up 31 to San Diego.
Yeesh.
All right. Actually, because I was looking at the wrong column for Houston. So let me reset here. New England, 51. Tampa Bay, 38.
Yeesh.
Houston, 31. Buffalo, 31. Jets, 28. San Diego, 31. Tennessee, 42. New Orleans, 38.
They gave up 42 points to the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, and 30 to Houston. So in about half of their games, they were about as bad as it gets. In the other half, significantly better. That still averaged out to 31st. So that's how bad those eight games or so were.
Yeah,
so
they were, in terms of yard-per-game differential last year.
Yeah.
Hold on. Oh, you. I wanted to say cocksucker in the air, so I just did anyway.
Well, yeah. No, you can't say that. That's for darn sure.
Not in this politically correct world that we live in, can you? What a bunch of tools. They were...
Look at who's trying to go Milo from Breitbart on me.
20 seconds
okay.
in yards per game differential. So that's not very good. Now, one area that does suggest improvement is turnovers. They were minus 10 in that department.
Okay.
You know, I don't know if I like my picks anymore. Can we restart this whole thing? Jacksonville, they will be better. They will win more games. I just don't think their ceiling is as high as other people. I'm going to go with 7 and 9. I may regret that pick like Minnesota last year.
Okay. Well, I got them at 9-7. I got them as the wild card. Now we come to a team where I think
the key is if they win more games, it's because Indianapolis is going to be worse than I have.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think the key is. Because I think, like I said, with Houston, Houston's floor is probably the highest of any team in the division in my estimation.
Right.
The Jaguars to me, because they never beat the Colts.
Right.
So if they can beat the Colts, maybe sweep the Colts, then that's their path to the playoffs. Their path to the playoffs involves the Colts really sucking,
right.
I think.
And we're talking about three teams thus far where we're trying to work through various scenarios on how it could play out. Similar to the AFC North, we come to the other team in the division, and in this highly divided land of ours, Trump voter, Cruz voter, Hillary voter, Sanders voter can all agree the Tennessee Titans blow. I got them at 5-11 this year.
6-10.
Okay.
I'm always high on the I'm always wrong on the Titans. Let me break this up. The Tennessee Titans have really defied math in recent years.
Okay.
But like the Browns, they're a bad team that I don't think can get any worse. I don't understand why Mike Mularkey was retained as head coach, especially so quickly and definitively.
Same kind of a deal as Indianapolis. That is a snap decision that they are going to regret. It never works out well.
What does work out well, though, is a team drafting number one overall and how they perform the next year. The last time a team picked number one in the draft and did not improve its record from the previous season. Do you know when that was?
Probably with Browns at some point.
It was not.
Okay.
Peyton Manning, 1998, Colts.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I should point this out, though. You referenced the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
I am excluding 2 years in that history.
Okay.
Because there was expansion teams, Cleveland being one of them,
that's
that
right.
could not improve upon a record that they didn't have
no,
from the
you're
previous
right.
year. So,
you're right about that.
Every team since Manning's Colts saw their win total go up by at least two the following season. So you said 5-11. I think 5-11. While as Houston has the highest floor mm-hmm. in the division, Tennessee clearly still has the lowest ceiling. I think that's what everyone's going to agree about. But since 2009, the team that finished with the worst record, the number one draft pick, has won at least four more games the next year.
And here's the interesting thing: I always like when
average increase of 6.0 the last 6 years. I don't think they're going to improve by six games because that'd be nine wins. No one, and there's just not enough here to make me think that they can win nine.
I always like in the course of any of these exchanges, whenever somebody says something that triggers something in my head, as you just did, because it's a good point of comparison. When you go back to the 98 Colts, now, let me say first and foremost, I mean, I think Marcus Mariota is going to be a very good quarterback.
Yeah.
I think his ceiling, I think he can be on the aforementioned level of Eli, Flacco, Roethlisberger. You can win a Super Bowl with him. I don't think he'll ever be the reason you do it, like Rodgers, Brady, whatever. But that's good enough. If you're a guy that they can win a Super Bowl with, that second tier, that's good enough. So he's not on the Peyton Manning level. But It's very interesting because of where I see Tennessee relative to that, the turn-of-the-century Colts. They're ready to start taking steps forward in the short to medium term of the next 2 to 3 years because they have their quarterback. They're putting pieces into place. The caveat to all of this is, again, malarkey, the pending potential sale of the team. Are they going to start over around Marietta if they get some new dipshit like an Eric Mangini? I can't win with this. Who knows? Who knows? That part of it is unknowable. But for the 2016 season, just looking at this, they're not there yet.
No.
We talked about this off air. You posed a question off air, Kyle, about Tennessee. When weren't you wondering about why they weren't? Didn't you say something? Didn't you say why aren't they very good? You looked at them.
Yes.
And you said that.
Why isn't Tennessee? Yeah. My question was, why is this Tennessee never good? That was my question.
This just in, they don't have a good roster. They don't have it. They don't have good players by and large.
I'm glad you remember that exchange, by the way. Yes, that is a very good answer.
You actually reminded me to bring it up on here.
Yes. I'm glad I did because I'd forgotten all about it already.
I wonder what could hinder short-term memory.
Yeah, I don't know. I forgot. No, you're right. This just in. Not having good players will make you not a very good team.
Yes.
I'll say this, though. Now, first of all, I want to double back and say something so people don't mock me. Remember, Tennessee actually did not wind up drafting first.
Right.
But I love what they did.
Yeah.
They got a haul for that number one pick, man.
They did.
And that is the smart decision. They ripped off. I can't even remember who they traded with now. Oh, St. Louis, or the Rams.
They traded with the Rams.
They ripped their old coach, Jeff Fisher, off blind.
By the way, thanks for screwing the Browns, Tennessee Titans. We could have used Jared Goff. Thanks for that, a-holes.
But even though they don't have a number one draft pick coming in, Mariota, who missed some time last year, mm-hmm. is kind of one, it should be brought up that even teams who really got next to nothing out of their number one draft pick just improved the next year. The Chiefs, when they took Eric Fisher, he was not the rookie of the year consideration that year. As you mentioned earlier in this little AFC South.
Although a candy level number one pick.
As you mentioned earlier in this AFC discussion, the Texans are still waiting on Jadeveon Clowney to show up.
Right.
So there's when you finish at the bottom of the league, there's just a natural improvement. And let's talk about some numbers that suggest a natural improvement here.
Okay.
Titans were tied for worst in the AFC last year at minus 14 in turnover margin with Baltimore, who we expect to improve.
Mm-hmm.
They were 2-6 in close games. That's after they were 1-5 in one-score games in 2014. So that's 3-11 the last 2 years in one-score games. There's got to be some improvement there.
Expected one-loss level of 4.9 and 11.1 for a team that won three games. So they should have won two games more than they did.
And they were also at the betting window. This is not a good team to bet on last year. 4-11-1. I think maybe they, they'll surprise a little bit. Again, like the Browns, the ceiling's very low here. I would argue second lowest ceiling in the AFC besides the Browns?
Yes. Yes. Okay. I have them as the second worst team.
Yes.
Let me...
But I think 6-10 is reasonable in a division. Remember, there's no division, although they're the worst team in the division, consensus, there's no division game that they can't win, right? I mean, it's not like if Tennessee, like, went to Jacksonville and won, would you really be, like, running around the room saying the apocalypse is upon us? I wouldn't.
No, no.
Or Houston, no.
It's possible. Well, here's the thing. Let me ask you something here, because once in a while, we have an opportunity on this show in different topics to get into big picture theory a little bit. I want to ask you something. You said they only covered four games last year, yes?
Yes, correct.
How much of that had to do with, you talk about something that exploded the Flukometer, a 42-14 win week one at Tampa Bay and expectations subsequently. Did that have anything to do with it? The fact that that game was in everybody's memory the rest of the year?
That must
have inflated at least the next couple games.
Yeah, because that was the one. So hold on here. Let me bring up Tennessee. Let me bring up
So they only covered three games the rest of the way.
And remember, wasn't it 2 years ago they beat the hell out of Kansas City in week one and then sucked the rest of the way?
Yes.
The Tennessee Titans really know how to artificially inflate expectations
That's right.
in week one.
That's right.
Hold on here. Let me take a look.
They're one of the weirdest teams in sports in terms of that kind of phenomenon. Yeah, because I'm looking at Football Prospectus, but that doesn't list the point spreads,
yeah,
I don't think.
Yeah, hold on. Team Report 2015. Let's take a look.
Although I can probably guess from looking at this what are the games they covered. I'm guessing at Buffalo. They lost by 1 point at Buffalo. That had to be a cover.
Okay, hold on.
That had to be one of them.
No, that game was actually listed as a pick'em here on my
sheet.
Was it?
Okay.
Yeah, that's the results could vary, though, because you're right. The next week, yes, they did not cover at Cleveland. That was a classic spot to go against them.
Yep.
They did cover against Indianapolis in week three, lost by only two in that game. That was a big luck comeback.
Okay.
So, yeah, two of their four covers came in the first 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And they actually closed the year on an 0-7-1 against the spread run.
Wow.
They were actually favored at home by 3 against the Jags, and that was the one they pushed. So
okay.
they did cover at New Orleans. They won that game outright as 6.5-point dogs. And the other game they covered was Atlanta as 6-point dogs, a ugly 10-7 affair. I think I remember watching that game at the bar. It was awful. So, yeah, three of their four covers came in the first six games. After that, it was all downhill.
So them being the king of week one outliers really makes for a disjointed kind of a deal.
Yeah, I wonder who they play in week one this year. Who should be on alert? What trendy team should be on upset alert here? And what's funny
Minnesota.
Is uh-oh.
Marietta v. Bridgewater.
Uh-oh. I'm on Tennessee in week one. It's at home, too, so I bet you Tennessee's getting points. Especially against Minnesota. Oh, yeah.
Minnesota's not trendy this year, though.
Yeah, you're right. They're disrespected, I think. Tennessee does get a three-game stretch of home games. Cleveland, Indy, and Jacksonville in October. That's a winnable stretch of football for them.
It is.
They
but
get Oakland in a 1 o'clock game, too. I think Tennessee...
You know they won't sweep it, though.
No, but I think it went 2 of 3.
Could be.
I think Tennessee may surprise a little early in the season.
Well, they might, well, you know, especially if you define early by week one, that's what they've been doing the last couple of years.
That's very true. They actually, in terms of yards per game, were not horrible. They were only outgained in 9 of 16 games last year. You would expect them to be a lot more dominated. By comparison, I talked about Indianapolis outgained in 14 of 16 games last
year. Well, and they're another one of these teams, too.
I think the Colts could be really bad. See, I told myself I was just going to make up my mind by May, and now I'm, like, talking myself into, like, other things.
Okay.
I want to pick Indianapolis to be, like, really bad this year.
You think they're going to be down there with Tennessee?
I don't know. Maybe. I could see it. I could honestly see a scenario where they're down there with Tennessee.
The one thing I will say, and again, I've been throwing out scenarios for different teams where I think I could be wrong. The commonality with Tennessee and with Cleveland, if I'm wrong going so low on both of those two, is they're both getting way younger, especially defensively. And sometimes, you know, the young legs, they can be coached up. The commonality there is Ray Horton coming back to Cleveland. I think he'd spent some time in Tennessee in the interim. They actually have that connection there. But You could have that. It could be one of those things where, remember it happened with Dallas a couple of years ago. They lose a couple guys defensively. Oh, my God, going to be the worst offense or defense in the history of football. And Dallas was a little bit better the next year. If I'm wrong about Cleveland and Tennessee being as abysmal as I am, that could be the key to the scenario there, is that the younger legs defensively getting coached up, additional speed that comes with youth, could be. In my estimation, not enough still to crack five wins.
DeMarco Murray, we haven't mentioned that.
DeMarco
signing.
Murray.
I think it's a good buy. He's not going to be as terrible as he was last year. Last year was a disaster. I don't think DeMarco Murray, if he could play that bad again, if he tried.
Well,
I don't think it's like a home run signing. I don't think he goes back to 2014, but he'll be better than he was last year in Philly.
They go from one of the most overrated sleepers of last year at running back, Bishop Sankey, and just a horrible position on their depth chart. You mentioned him. Don't sleep also, too, on a guy who, like Bama running backs, he comes out with a lot of city miles on the odometer, but Derrick Henry is the 1A running back with Murray. They are going to have a big upswing on the ground here. I mean, for Murray, I think you would probably agree with me. Because law of averages, you know, my analysis on most things, maybe my predictions tend to be boring as a result of this, but I don't tend to be wildly wrong as much because that's what I base it on. For Murray, if you regard the polls of his performance as 2014 Dallas, 2015 Philly, I say you split the difference. That's probably where he ends up this year.
I agree with that.
Okay.
And Murray, they obviously need Mariota to improve. And you know, a lot of the projection systems really liked Marcus Mariota, you know, even more than Jameis Winston for Tampa. So
yeah,
I think Tennessee's a clear candidate to win more games, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they are. They won three games last year. I got them at five. You got them a little better than
six.
That. Six. So we got.
What does Vegas think? We need. That's the last thing we need to touch on, in my opinion.
Vegas.
Vegas has them at, wouldn't it be funny if it was 5.5 it is?
Oh, okay. I was going to guess 6. Okay.
5.5.
All right. Yeah, so Vegas is right between us.
How I said I really, really liked that Baltimore pick of 9 wins?
Right.
On that, I really, really like my Tennessee pick of 6.
Right.
I really like it.
Well, and that's what's interesting. You look
well,
at
the other three, I'm kind of like, I don't know. They're all kind of like, I think the other three are very much tied into each other. Tennessee,
right.
I just very much think is a 6-win team.
Right. And while we collectively don't regard the upper three teams in the AFC South as we do the upper three teams in the AFC North, it's still an interesting dynamic where we think that there's room for different things to happen as far as any of those three teams rising up in both of those divisions and then a last-place team that's well back of them there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it ends up being as we look at the AFC South for 2016.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.